This morning we continue our study of the plan of salvation, the plan for the salvation of man, and more particularly God's plan for the salvation of man. That's an important distinction because our plan for the salvation of man first doesn't matter. It has no relevance whatsoever, but it is varied and sundry. Different people have different ideas on how a person should be saved, on what qualifications or qualities, what conditions an individual should receive salvation. But none of that matters. All that matters when we're talking about the salvation of mankind, of any individual person, or the people of the earth, human beings altogether, all that matters is what God has in store, what God has demonstrated, what God has revealed. And the revelation of salvation, interestingly enough, begins in a very sometimes awkward place to start. You got to hear what the Bible says. Believe in the Word of God. Repent. Be sorry for your sins. You've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away your sins and live faithful. And you have that responsibility. You have this opportunity, and you might say obligation. I don't think obligation quite carries it correctly because you don't have to be saved. And perhaps that's what human beings struggle with most deepest, the deepest in their hearts and in their desires is they want to be saved, but they don't like the conditions upon which salvation is acquired. But that, again, doesn't change anything. It doesn't matter. Because we're not dealing with a situation where we get to determine the conditions of our salvation. If we could, we'd save ourselves. Good luck. Good luck. But when you're dealing with God, when you're dealing with an entity that is supremely powerful and all-knowing, you're on His terms. And His terms are best. If we accept that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, which we'll look at next week as well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, then we have to also, that should also carry us into a desire simply to do His will because His way is best. If this is true, then we should embrace it. Then we should move forward with it. And it's difficult sometimes to do that, to invest yourself in God's plan, whatever it happens to be, to do what God wants, even above and beyond what your desires are. But that's what we're called to do. When I was young, my mom tried to demonstrate the concept of hearing to me. Because we talk about hear, and that's not always what we think of when we're talking about the Bible. Oftentimes, we use the word read. We even sing songs, right? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And we recognize the significance of that and the importance of it. But we neglect what really he's talking about here in the word hear. H-E-R-E and E-A-R are difficult sometimes because they're homonyms. They sound similar or the same, but they mean different things. So when we're talking about hearing the word of God, it's important that we remember why he uses that type of language. When I was young, my mother wanted me to listen. Sometimes we use that word. She wanted me to listen. She also told me yesterday that I'm not supposed to use these stories, and I told her, good luck stopping me. When I was young, I wasn't always good at listening. Imagine that. They say that when you are listening to someone talk, you should listen to understand, not listen to respond. Many people listen to respond, and that's why they jump in the moment that they have an opportunity. That's why they interrupt. And when you do that, you aren't telling the other person that you care what they have to say. It should take you a moment to think about what has just been said, to formulate a response, and then to respond. But we sometimes struggle with that, struggle with the idea of listening to understand. And when I was a kid, I wasn't very good at listening to understand. I could repeat what my mom said, word for word, verbatim. That didn't mean that I was listening to what she was saying. And when we were in services one day, she bent down to whisper. Well, I assumed she was going to whisper in my ear because I was not obeying, because I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to. I don't remember what it was. It could have been any number of things, but I am certain that I was doing something because I was always doing something. And she bit my ear. And not lightly. She bit my ear. Now, not like, you know, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. I wasn't bleeding or anything. She made sure to bite hard enough that I was paying attention now, but not so hard that she had a screaming child bleeding from the ear or anything. She bit me. But it woke me up. It drew my attention. And sometimes I think if we got bit every now and then by the word, sometimes you guys have talked about that. Wow, that message, and that's one of the greatest compliments you can give me. That message really stepped on my toes. It challenged me, because that's why I'm here. I'm not just here inevitably to confirm everything that you already believe. I'm also here to challenge the things that we aren't on the same terms as God, where we're not doing the things we need to do, where we need to be corrected or challenged. And that's one of the reasons that we come together, and that's one of the things that we can do for each other. And so she bit me because I wasn't listening, and it worked. She has now, well, more than once, become the illustration of my sermons, and usually they're good illustration. I tried to only pick the good things that she did. There were a couple things, I tell you. But she was a human, right? She made mistakes sometimes, but she tried her best to wrangle me, and that's hard enough as it is. So we're talking this morning about hearing. The first step of the plan of salvation seems like an obvious one. In order to believe, you need to hear. And that's exactly what Paul here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, if I could pick a memory verse, something for you to remember from this lesson, it would be Romans 10 and verse 17. Perhaps I assign that as if that has any bearing or weight with anybody. But perhaps you go home and you get an index card and you write Romans 10, 17 on one side. I know you know how this works. And then you flip the card over, right? Index cards, everybody has 3x5 index. Everyone should have 3x5 index cards. I'm just telling you right now. And on the other side, you write, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you put it in your pocket. Right? You put it with your billfold. You put it with your purse. You put it with your phone. And every time you pull your phone out, you feel that piece of paper. Maybe you pull it out as well. And you recite it. And you think about it. And you dwell on it. And you meditate. That's what he means by the word hear. I got to stop doing that. But I don't have an alternative way of saying it. What does he mean by hear? And this is part of it. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God, listening to it, understanding it, ingesting it is the biggest part of what, as we'll move forward into the other steps of the plan of salvation that people think are more important. There is no more important step than, hey, you have heard it. Because you can't do any of the others until you do. Which then should remind us of how important Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is. All authority has been given to me on heaven and on the earth. Go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How important is it that people have the opportunity to hear the word of God? Because they can't believe it if they don't hear it. And that's what he's arguing here. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And that's a question each of us should ask ourselves. When we meet someone new, how could they possibly ever believe? How could they possibly ever be saved if they are not given the opportunity to hear? To hear the word of God. And what do we mean by hear? This is kind of out of context with our existence, because we don't hear in the sense that they did. And by that I mean, when the historical context of hear in this case really comes from places like Nehemiah 8. And it gets illustrated, I think, well, in the Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. But there are these two guys in a boat. And as they're in this boat, one of them is rowing, and he's working real hard to get them back to shore, and the other one has a book, and he keeps flipping through it. And the other guy, he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm reading my Bible," right? And he says, "You can't read. You know you can't read." And he says, "It's the Bible. You get credit for trying." And part of what I love, not only about the symbolism of what is said, but technically the accuracy. Like, is this guy benefiting from staring at a page of letters that he doesn't really understand what they're doing? No. But it does help us when we work towards it, when we're trying, when we're doing our best to be part of it. We live in a culture and a community where reading, the literacy rate is fairly high. We get upset because it's not as high as it should be, granted. But the literacy rate now is astronomically higher than it ever has been in human history. And it is in many foreign countries. And so the word here has a lot more significance to them because that is how most of the New Testament Christians would have had experience with the Word of God. They would not have had Bibles. We are blessed to have Bibles. The fact that any one of us can own a Bible or upteen Bibles, depending on how addicted you are to collecting Bibles. You can own as many Bibles as you want, and there is very little getting in your way of purchasing new Bibles. If you don't like this Bible, or if it falls apart, you can get rid of it, and you can buy another one. And that is an insane concept. And the fact that you can read is ridiculous. It's amazing that we, the literacy rate here in America, and for the people that are gathered here together right now, is so high. Because that's never been the case in the past. And so when he uses the word hear, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We would supply reading there, but he means hearing. Because, for instance, in Ezekiel, or in Nehemiah chapter 8, if you remember back, we talked about this. Ezra had committed his heart to learning the law of God and to giving it to the people and to teaching statutes and ordinances. And there in Nehemiah 8, we talked about how they read distinctly from the book. They had gathered the Israelites together for this day, and they pulled the books of the law out, and those who were capable of reading, they read it to the people. And the people respond. They stand up when the Bible is about to be read, when the Word of God is about to be read, and they are enthralled by the idea of hearing the Word of God, some of them for the first time in a very long time. Many of the fast days and the feast days that we talk about, the various days that go on where the Israelites were supposed to be in Jerusalem and participating in various things, there were readings. Many times in Jesus' life, he ends up in the temple or in the synagogue in various places. And what does he do? He reads the word of God to the people. It was a daily occurrence. And they would begin reading. Somebody who could read stood up and read to all the people who couldn't. And the vast majority of Christians in the first century and the vast majority of the Jews going back to the beginning in Moses' day could not read the word of God. They had to hear it. They had to hear it being read to them. And yet, the number of times I've talked to people about getting the Bible on audio tape, tape is a colloquial word, I suppose, some form of media that would read the Bible to you, and they feel awkward by that because you're not a good Christian if you're not reading your Bible. But not everyone learns through reading. Some people learn better through hearing. So listen to the Bible being read. Take the opportunity. There are a myriad of applications on your smart devices. There are cassette tapes that I think I own of the Bible being read. I have a record set of the Bible being read if that's really your jam. If you don't feel comfortable reading it or if you want to try hearing it, you would be in the vast majority of Christians who have ever existed. Most of them couldn't read. And to disparage people because they don't read as well, or to feel awkward because you don't read as well, you are in a huge group of people and some of the best people in the world. It's okay. Do whatever it is. Ingest the media in whatever capacity. That's the historical context. In Purim, a celebration that was added to the Jewish customs and festivals and traditions, the day of Purim was a celebration of the activities of Esther and Mordecai during the days of their Assyrian captivity. And she saved, through Mordecai and through God's will, she saved the Israelites. God brought salvation to the Israelites from Haman's wicked plan. If you want to hear about it, read the book of Esther. Or, hey, listen to the book of Esther being read. It's fantastic. There was an entire genocide going on towards the Israelites, and they stopped it. And so they started this day of Purim to celebrate it. And you know what they do on the day of Purim? They all get together and they read the book of Esther. And it's not some slouch book like Obadiah. It's not some one-chapter book. There's quite a few chapters in the book of Esther. And they stand and they listen to it being read. It's amazing. You do get credit for trying. That's the rub. We've got to try. We've got to put in the effort. And what does it matter if it makes you feel awkward to listen to the Bible being read instead of reading it for yourself like a true Christian? That's ridiculous. And we all got to stop being like that. Or we're disparaging the majority of Christians who have ever existed. What, you can't read? You don't read well? Then listen to it. Absolutely, whatever it is, do what suits the way that you learn, the way that you will ingest it best, and that's the metaphorical use. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 10, two of the greatest individuals in the Bible, in my estimation, Ezekiel's a fantastic prophet. If you haven't read the book of Ezekiel or listened to the book of Ezekiel, you absolutely should. It's amazing. But in Ezekiel receives a word from God after he falls down on his face because he's come in the presence of the Lord. Moreover, he said in verse 6, I believe it is, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." He's in a vision, and they give him a scroll, and the voice that he hears, God, it says, "Eat it." And he is given the ability to eat this scroll, whatever that exactly means. "So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness." In verse 7, it says, "But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." Hopefully that's not us. But he warns Ezekiel that these people, they're not going to listen to you. You have to preach it anyway. You have to go and tell them anyway. And you need to preach what I have given you, the scroll that I made you eat. And he makes a mention of how it gives him an upset tummy after he eats it. In his mouth, it was sweet. And then in his stomach, there was a weight to it. And I associate that with the weight of the prophecy, of the message that he's giving the Israelites. It's not a pleasant message. And it distresses him and gives him a stomach ache because of the message. In Revelation chapter 10, you have a similar thing. In verse 10, John said, or in verse 8, Revelation 10 and verse 8, John is told, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands in the sea and on the earth.' So I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth.'" And I don't know if this has been your experience with the Word of God, but it's been mine. Who doesn't like learning about Jesus? Who doesn't like learning about how God loves them and how God has cared for them and how God has demonstrated that through His Son and who has purchased and pursued your best interests? That's fantastic. That's sweet in your mouth. But when it hits your stomach, when you ingest it and you digest it, when you start to break the pieces of the Word of God apart and really truly understand the magnitude, the weight of the message, as well as your position in this message, it can be difficult to stomach. It can be heavy, we would say, in your heart. The Israelites would say it would be heavy in your stomach. Like those times where the thing that you ate seemed to weigh more in your stomach than it did on your plate, when your eyes were bigger than your stomach. But in this case, it's difficult to truly understand the weight and the magnitude of what the Bible concludes until we've digested it, until we've broken it apart, and we're utilizing the resources that it's providing. And that's what it means to hear. It doesn't just mean in one ear and out the other, though that's oftentimes where we're at. That's where we're at when we're children and our mothers are telling us what to do and we're not listening, and then they bite us. And we totally deserve it. And that's effectively what John and Ezekiel are describing. The word bit them after they had ingested it. After they had eaten it, it was sweet, And once it had gotten in their stomach, it turned. The gospel is a weighty thing. And to handle the gospel correctly is a weighty thing. But it's a responsibility each and every one of us have. To cut straight the word of God, as Paul would tell Timothy. And so we need to pursue this. The logical application is, if we're going to hear anything, we need to learn how to ingest it. We need to learn how to digest it. We need to learn how to break it apart and decide if it's the right thing for us or not. And I mean this in any media. And when I say media, I mean video, audio, printed word, on a page. It doesn't matter whether you're reading or you're listening or you're watching. In anything you're doing, you are subjecting yourself to something. You are putting something into your heart, into your mind, into the way that you live. And there's a warning there. Because what you hear matters. What you ingest, as far as media, it matters. What you read, what you hear, the music that you listen to, the talk shows that you watch, everything matters. Everything is going to have an effect on you. And is it having a good effect or a bad effect? And there's three categories when we talk about what you should hear. Three categories of all the things in this world that you could listen to, that you could hear, that you could take in. One, and it's the majority of all media that exists in the world, it's trash. It is absolute garbage. Most of the media that you could take in, and the more I listen to the radio, the more convinced I am that the majority of songs that are created for now and forever into the past are all trash. They're garbage. And I don't mean like their melody or what they're really talking. No, I mean they use language that they shouldn't. They talk about things that they shouldn't. And as I am listening to them, I am ingesting those things. I am subjecting my soul to the horrors that are this world. And I'm giving them an entrance into my soul, into my heart, into the way I think and feel and the things that I do. And we need to be mindful of that. Because the majority of the stuff this world produces is absolute garbage. And what do you do with garbage? You take it out. And we need to take out the garbage. We need to learn how to change the channel. We need to learn how to switch the station. We need to learn that even though the world puts out media free of charge and that it's not free of consequence, that there is a real consequence if we are ingesting media that we shouldn't be. And Paul communicates that in 1 Corinthians 15:33. We act like the verse starts halfway through. Evil company corrupts good habits. And we go, yeah, I know. The funny thing is when we say that, yeah, I know, that's only half the verse. The first half of the verse is, do not be deceived. Which implies that Paul anticipated, even for the people of the time who didn't have radio, who didn't have TV, who barely had newspapers and things like that. They had the written word, but most of them couldn't read. But they were going to see people reading things and doing things, and they were witnessing stuff. And he says, the more things you witness that are bad, the more detrimental it is to your spiritual well-being. So take out the trash. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not convince yourself that you are fine when you are ingesting things that are detrimental to your spirituality, that are destroying your resolve to commit to God. Because this, what we're convinced of is that it's not true that garbage in, garbage out. What you ingest comes out of you. Because your eyes, Jesus talks about, is a lens to your soul. What you take in affects you. And then some of what you take in, guess what? Comes right back out of you. When young people struggle with profanity, I know that it's for a couple of reasons. And one of those reasons is because they have people in their lives that use profanity. When I struggled with profanity, it made it even worse. When I was a kid, that I was around people who also used profanity. It was very hard to stop using profanity because other people were using it. What do you do with trash? You take it out. And I don't make a habit of throwing away books, but I made an exception one day. I had heard a lot. I love fantasy. That is the genre of literature. I love fantasy. I love dragons. I love knights with swords and pointy things and whatnot. Huge fan of it. And there was a series everyone was clamoring about. It was Game of Thrones. And so I bought Fire and Ice or whatever, the stupid name is. And I started reading it. And I hit a couple of speed bumps. And I said, is this really what I should be reading? And I kept going. I pressed on, hoping that it would get better. It took me, I think, a whole 3 chapters to realize this wasn't getting any better. In fact, it was only getting worse. I stood up. And this was, my wife was thrown by this. She saw me do it. I stood up and I did what you should do with any trash. I threw it away. I don't make a habit of throwing things away because a lot of things fall into the next category. But it was absolute trash and it belonged in the trash can. So I threw it there. The Christians in Acts 19 who were involved previously in magics, they had collected over their lifetime books of magics that totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And rather than sell those books of magics and redistribute it into the economy and provide these resources into other people's hands, they made a fire out of them. And it demonstrated their commitment to God instead. And it had an effect. I'm not sure me with my one book sitting out in the parking lot lighting it on fire would have had the same effect, but perhaps I should have done that instead. We can argue that semantically back and forth if we like, but inevitably I came to the point where trash needed to be thrown away, and it got thrown away. The second category are things that are innocuous. And you say, but Chris, can I watch TV? Sure. Can I watch things that aren't bad for me? Absolutely. With the caveat that you should limit how much innocuous things, things that aren't bad or good for you. There's plenty of shows on the TV, on internet. There's plenty of music that you can listen to that has absolutely no effect on you. And that's for you to judge what falls into that category. But if it doesn't have an effect on you in the sense of it being bad for you or good for you, then, and my answer is sure. And it's sure for a reason. Because it's not, yes, yes, do that. It's sure. Because that's not something we should fill our lives with. Things that are innocuous? Do we want to be neutral in these things or do we want to be positive in these things? We want to be positive. We want to move forward with our life in Christ. We want to get better. And so innocuous doesn't really solve that problem. As you grow, you need to replace these innocuous things with things from the next category. More and more, out with the old and with the new. And we need to be replacing these things with new things. The things that are innocuous, the things that don't matter in our lives, need to be replaced with things that are beneficial. And that's what spiritual growth is. And that's what people oftentimes struggle with when they're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is what Paul tells us to do, or Peter tells us to do in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about Paul and how difficult sometimes Paul's message is. Let's be fair, he's absolutely right. There are things that Paul writes that are difficult to understand, Peter says, that some people twist to their own destruction, as they do with all of Scripture. He amends at the end, right? He's like, I don't want Paul so mad at me. So they do it with everything. But he definitely says they especially do it with some of the things Paul says, which I think is hilarious. And then he says, you therefore, because this is true and people are twisting things to their own destruction, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, since I have warned you that this is the case, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Instead of being led away by the error of the wicked, he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. To the mature Christian, this is the challenge. To the person who has never heard the gospel, I hope that you would listen. I hope that you would hear what the Bible actually says and that you would perform the things that God calls you to do when you come to them. But new Christians are not always ready to implement all of these activities in their lives, to get involved in multiple Bible studies and listening to people talk more than 30 minutes at a time about the Bible. Okay, but what are we doing to challenge ourselves after we become a child of God? How are we growing beyond where we were when we first started? Or are we happy and complacent with where we started? Because the only way we're going to continue, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What is that again? Oh yeah, Romans 10:17. Little card, telling you, works wonders. And this is to remind us continually of these things, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to continue growing, continue hearing God's word. And why should we do that? Well, Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 8, before he even really starts working as the leader, the new leader of Israel. Right beforehand, Moses in Deuteronomy has warned the people that they need to listen to the word of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 6, he tells them that they should post it everywhere. That they should talk about it with their children when they lie down and when they rise up. They should have it on their doorpost and on their lintel and on their gatepost. They should bind it as eyelets between their eyes. I mean, he goes kind of to the ridiculous, intentionally so. This should be daily in your life. And even though Moses has just done that with this whole group of people, what does Joshua do? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Can you argue that growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or your knowledge of the Bible as a whole, growing in your relationship with God, will not bring you greater success? Do you want success? If you want to succeed in life and the things that matter, the Bible tells us how to do it. And it's relatively a simple thing. It's habit forming. That's what we've got to do. We've got to build habits that the devil doesn't want us to have. We've got to build habits that will absolutely destroy the devil's work in our life, that will hurt it unequivocally. And part of that is to hear the word of God more and more in our lives, finding ways of fitting it in. And at first, it's on Sunday. Okay. Sure. But the more and more you grow, the more we need to inject. The only way to grow is to inject more and more of the word of God into our lives. So maybe it's one day a week you listen to the Bible on cassette tape, or maybe you have a record player in your car. I doubt it, but who knows? But you talk to Chris and you say, "Hey, Chris, I really want to listen to the Bible. I will help set you up, because this is important to me too. Your spiritual growth is important to me. And I will find opportunities for you to listen to it even more." It's necessary for continued success. Hosea 4, verses 1 through 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but it's not for the reason that you think." If you read there in Hosea, the situation at hand is dire. The people have committed themselves to unrighteousness. They're murdering each other, basically, those first six verses. And he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." Not because they're ignorant. Not because they don't know, which is what ignorant means. Because they are refusing to learn. It is available to them and they do not care. Are you in that boat? Or are we pursuing a greater relationship with God? Because it's not just in listening to the word of God, though. That is a great place, always. Listen to the word of God. There's nothing better. But perhaps you're in a situation where you're really interested in studying a particular thing. If you like books, talk to me. Because there are books on particular things. Like, you want to study angels, I have a book on that, written by an incredible man in the Brotherhood. If you want to study anything, pretty much, in the Bible, I either have a book on it, I have a book that has a section on it, or I will purchase and add to my library a book that is about that. And it will be beneficial to you. Not as beneficial as reading the Word of God itself, but we're moving in the right direction. And that's what I'm all about. Moving in the right direction. Why? Because we as Christians, and all of us, not just me, not just you, not just that guy next to you, all of us, hopefully are getting to the point where we are learning how to spit out the bones. I mean, do you just not eat fish? Because there's a chance there's a bone in that fish. Like, even when they say it's boneless, psh, I don't think so. Or you go and you have to have your mom cut the chicken off the bone for you? Or have you learned how to eat chicken off the bone? Well, you don't eat the bone. I mean, this is just life pro tip, I guess. Don't eat the bone. And so there's things that you can do. You can ingest. You can learn and you can grow from. And what we have to do is learn how to spit out the bones. That's where we're trying to get to. Learn how to spit out the bones. How to make judgments in relation to the Word of God. Compare the things we're learning with what God is telling us. And then we make the proper assessments. That's what you should be doing right now. You should be eating the fish and you should be spitting out the bones. If you find a bone in my lesson, you should spit it out and then you should tell me about it. And you should go, Chris, I found a bone in your lesson. And by that I mean things that aren't true scripturally. Things that are in error in the Word of God. And if it's, you know, you got this thing wrong about boats because you don't know boats, tell me, because I don't know boats, right? I had that a couple weeks ago. I loved it. That's great. Tell me. Absolutely. Spit out the bones. In Hebrews chapter 5, he's just talked about Melchizedek very briefly, which is a very strange kind of character in the Old Testament. And he says, I love this, and he says, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. I'd love to talk to you about Melchizedek, he says, but it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And you look at the Hebrews writer and you go, that's rude. That's only rude if it's true. Is it true of you that you're unskilled in the word of God and you should be beyond where you are and you're neglecting your relationship with God? You're neglecting your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you neglecting it? Or are you a babe in Christ because you're a babe in Christ? Like, there's nothing wrong with being an infant when you're new to Christ. But if you've been in the church, why are you still a baby? And there are times where I legitimately want to ask someone that, and they would probably not take that well. So maybe I ask you now. So it's spread over a larger group of people. You don't know that I'm talking specifically to you. Are you still a baby? Seriously, are you still a baby? Because that's what the Hebrews writer is saying. He's saying, by this time, you should be advanced in your relationship with God. You should be further along than you are. And that's always going to be true of us. But are we still babies? Because if we are, we got to grow up. We got to get our act together. We got to stop demanding milk when we could really use learning how to eat solid food. And I'll help you with that. I'd love to help you with that. In every capacity, in every way. If you're new to Christ, if this is the first time you've heard the Word of God, and you're intrigued and you're interested, or you want to learn more, you should let us know. You should give us the opportunity to help you, to teach you the ways of Christ, and to teach you the Word of God. And if you are on an additional step, if you're ahead of the game at this point, and you know the plan of salvation, and you're at a different point, and we can help you at that point, I'd love for you to let me know. If you need to be washed and redeemed according to the Word of God, for your sins to be washed away, I'd love for you to let me know. If you're in a situation where you've walked away from Christ, or you're not where you need to be and you need the help or the prayers of the congregation, I'd love for you to let me know. Let us know how we can help you in your walk with God, because our goal is not simply to get to heaven. It is to help as many people get there as well. And if we can help you today, I pray that you'd let it be known as together we stand and